Straight Talk from Israel.
You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
Welcome to The Definitive Wrap, where we report the truth about the world around us. We stand for true conservative principles and against wokeness. The Definitive Wrap, where we respect people of faith, the men and women in uniform who serve with pride, and our support for Israel. And now, your hosts, Bela Sebro, she's the nice one, and Alan Skorsky, he's not so nice. But together, they are The Definitive Wrap.
Happy Wednesday, everyone, and welcome to our new show, The Definitive Wrap. I'm Alan Skorsky with my co-host, Bela Sebro, and thank you so much for opening your homes, your computers, or whatever it is you're listening to us on. We are so looking forward to speaking with you every Wednesday with our perspectives on what's going on in this crazy, politically correct, morally and intellectually bankrupt world we call politics. You know, Bela, have you noticed how fancy these Israel News Talk radio studios are?
Of course. What did you expect? We're dealing with professionals here.
Yeah, I know. Like they gave us a producer and everything. Just out of curiosity, though, I couldn't help notice that our producer, when he introduced us, said that you're the nice one. And when it came to me, he said, he's not so nice. Was that your doing? Okay. You know what? I know what this is.
Do you really now?
Yeah. Okay. This is like in high school. You know, you and Tamar want to tease me because I'm like the cutest boy in the classroom.
Oh, you have got to be kidding. Such an ego. Oh my God. I can't even believe you said that. You know what? If I was going to do anything, I would have told the producer to say something like, Alan Skorsky, he's always looking in the mirror.
Oh my God. That is so not true.
You know, I'm right.
Okay, Bela, speaking of being right, today we're going to talk about the Jihad Ben & Jerry's fiasco that totally blew up in their faces, no pun intended. Bela, tell our audience who our guests are today.
Coming up on today's show, David Schoen, who was Trump's attorney in the second impeachment, and we have Councilman Bruce Blakeman from the town of Hempstead, who this past Thursday held a press conference to announce that the town, one of the largest in the country, will be terminating all contracts with not only Ben & Jerry's, but Unilever as well. Stay tuned.
Did a nice Jewish girl from Delaware end up living in Israel?
Shalom, I'm Natalie Zapinski. Join me on my show, Returning Home. Meet different people who have moved to Israel. Hear their personal stories, their highs, their lows, and everything in between. Each week, we talk to experts on immigration and the process of moving to Israel. Listen to Returning Home every Thursday, only on Israel News Talk Radio.
Welcome back to The Definitive Wrap with Alan Skorsky and Bela Sebro.
Thank you, Mr. Producer, and let's begin. This past Monday morning, as I was browsing my Twitter feed, I came across a press release from Ben & Jerry's Ice Cream stating that they will not renew their contract with the Israeli distributor to sell what they call OPT, quote-unquote, occupied territories. The response from the pro-Israel Jewish community was swift. On social media, major kosher supermarkets were notifying customers that Jihad Ben & Jerry's will no longer be sold in their stores. Morton Williams, a chain of 16 stores in New York, said they will reduce their shelf space by 70%. The Kosher Authority Rabbinical Supervision of Australia has already delisted the Hamas ice cream brand. Have you noticed I keep degrading their brand? And now we await a statement from the Cuffcake Kosher Certification, the international kosher agency who certifies the PLO ice cream, on how they plan to proceed. Alas, some of you are asking, do you really think that this multi-billion dollar company really cares if they lose the support of a minority of kosher consumers? Well, today's guest, whom Bela will introduce shortly, is noted attorney David Schoen, who served on the defense for President Trump against impeachment, is here to explain the hot legal water these anti-Semitic social justice warriors may have gotten themselves, Jihad Ben & Jerry's, and even the corporate owners of this hateful brand, Unilever, into. A number of years ago, 33 states signed onto an anti-BDS bill that forbade their states from doing any business with any company who engages in BDS against Israel proper or portions of Israel that are considered, quote, in dispute. Furthermore, this episode has created a public relations nightmare for Unilever, which you can be sure they will not soon forget. Bela?
Thank you, Alan. Even if you're a diehard ice cream lover and your taste buds crave the smooth, sweet flavor, the latest developments with Ben & Jerry's have certainly added a bitter taste in the mouths of many. So for the benefit of our audience, on July 19th, Ben & Jerry's Global announced its decision to stop sales of its ice cream in post-1967 communities. Unilever Global firm, which acquired Ben & Jerry's in 2000, seems responsible for the boycott of citizens living in Judea, Samaria, and post-1967 parts of Jerusalem. There are people who say, all right, so what? Ben & Jerry's is not the only game in town, so to speak. But that's not the point. It's not about the ice cream, but the dangerous politics behind it. And by the way, Unilever also owns Cornetto, Hellmann's, Knorr, Magnum, Marmite, Lipton, Dove, Persil, Tresemme, and Vaseline, to name a few. So this is not just buy a different ice cream type of situation. Here to talk more about it is attorney David Schoen, who led the defense of former President Trump's second impeachment hearing. He has extensive, complex litigation experience as lead counsel in trial and appellate courts throughout the country. He has been honored by leading Israeli institution for the welfare of children with its Migdal Or Tower of Light Award. David Schoen graduated Columbia University Law School with a Master of Laws and from Boston Law College School, JD cum laude. David, welcome back again to our show. Ben & Jerry's announced their intention to boycott hundreds of thousands of citizens living in Judea and Samaria. Does the announced policy also trigger potential legal ramifications?
Oh, I think so, on a number of fronts. Go ahead, sorry.
Yeah, I mean, there are many kosher establishments around the world that have pulled Ben & Jerry's off their shelves in protest. So let's first talk a little bit about the potential legal ramifications and before we go on to talk about something else.
Okay, yeah, sure. I think the people power response is even more important than the legal response. Let's talk about the legal response.
Yes, that's it.
You and Alan both mentioned the sort of infighting that's going on between Unilever and this independent board of Ben & Jerry. There apparently was an agreement between Unilever and Ben & Jerry's when they were acquired in 2000 that that Ben & Jerry's could retain some autonomy. On the other hand, Unilever clearly is legally responsible for Ben & Jerry's actions. And to the extent those actions transgress the law, Unilever should be made liable as well. So about the kinds of legal challenges, I think they exist potentially on a number of fronts. First of all, there are federal anti-boycott laws that have been around since the 70s. You have the 1977 Export Administration Act, the Ribicoff Amendment to the 1976 Tact Reform Act, Trade Facilitation, Trade Enforcement Act, some federal legislation that could be triggered. But then, as Alan mentioned, both of you mentioned, there are 33 states that have passed anti-boycott laws. And the way those laws operate generally is the state passes a law that prohibits the state from entering into a contract with or investing their money with a company that boycotts Israel. And they say, why Israel? Because Israel has been the target of these discriminatory boycotts, and Israel alone, no matter the misconduct by horrible countries around the world, only because of root anti-Semitism is Israel singled out by these companies for boycott based on false narratives. And in this case, you mentioned earlier, you know, about a political narrative going on that goes beyond just their business decision. If you read what the CEO of Ben & Jerry says, it's blatant anti-Semitism, blatant anti-Israel rhetoric that's been going on for years from this person. And she was angry at Unilever for saying they'd like to continue doing business in Israel. But specifically, the way the legal challenges might work would be like this. First of all, the company could sue in the states, triggering one of the anti-boycott laws. But the most likely way would be for a state to divest their funds from any investment in Unilever. There's already a news story today in the Jerusalem Post about the Texas comptroller considering whether to pull their funds from Unilever. There's a law that was passed in Texas. It's Texas Government Code Chapter 808 that prohibits their pension funds from investing in any company that boycotts. Unilever clearly is boycotting now. But listen, I think that the challenges go beyond that, because remember, every corporation, publicly traded corporation like Unilever, has an obligation to report to its shareholders, and it has an overriding duty of care or to act in its shareholders' best interests. Yeah. And you say then if they're going to face worldwide condemnation, at least from the Jews and people who support fairness, they have a duty to report that to their shareholders. They have a duty to act in the shareholders' interest, not on political basis, but in the best economic interest of the company. So you may see shareholder lawsuits against Unilever now. Mm. I've prosecuted a lawsuit against Unilever in the past. They played very dirty in the case that I had with them. But ultimately,
Can you share a little bit about that?
Yeah.
Are you at liberty to do so?
Sure. I can't discuss the exact settlement terms.
No, I understand.
But I'll say that it was a products liability case. Unilever made a can of hairspray that many years earlier had severely burnt a 19-year-old girl. They knew this was a dangerous product. They, however, decided to put a warning on the can that was much less than the danger that the can posed, much less severe warning. They had an expert witness who had testified in the earlier case who had said this aerosol can is like a bomb in a can, but they ignored that and they put a relatively mild warning on it. My client lived in a small apartment in New York. She was a woman of modest means. And on her way out the door, she decided just to spray some hairspray on her hair. She did it and she completely ignited. Why? Because the kitchen was next to the door. She didn't have the kitchen stove lit. A pilot light below the stove was on. And because it was such a dangerous can, it ignited and killed her. So Unilever at first, they played dirty. I tried to negotiate with them before we filed, and they said that they wanted to consider it. But instead, they misled me about their company. They strung it out until the statute of limitations almost ran. But ultimately, I had to sue them, and they finally caved in and settled the case.
Well, David, as you know, Unilever came out with a press release of their own. And it may have been preemptive, where they said that they're going to remain within Israel. And I think you may have mentioned this, that the board went nuts because it was an unauthorized press release. In your mind, was this a calculated move on their part to preempt lawsuits against them? Or is this more of a PR thing for them? What was the purpose? And what did they think that they were going to gain by issuing that preemptive release without authorization?
Great question. I think it's both. I think it's clearly a PR move. But I also think that they're not dummies. I mean, they know that they're going to be facing legal challenges now. The government of Israel has told them that, and so on. But frankly, I'd take the other side. I would prefer Israel to boot them out and not permit them to do business in Israel. And, you know, as Bela pointed out, they have a lot of prime products on the market.
Right.
You know, we always talk about this kind of thing. These so-called progressives, who I call regressives, talk about, you know, boycotting Israel all the time. But they're using computers with chips from Israel, and they get up in the morning and the bathroom goes off. That kind of nonsense, you know.
Right.
Bela?
Yes. We talked a little bit about kosher establishments around the world that have pulled Ben and Jerry's off their shelves in protest. Are you aware of any non-Jewish establishments that have done the same?
Not yet, but I'm hoping that follows, because again, you're talking here about fair-mindedness. It's un-American to boycott someone based on their religious beliefs, or in this case, listen, let's call it like it is. This is a false narrative. This idea, their press release says, occupied Palestinian territories. The most you could possibly say from any legal perspective is that these are disputed territories. But any legal scholar worth her or his salt would tell you that Israel has the best claim to every piece of territory that they're talking about, starting with Jerusalem, the unified capital, the nation of Israel, but also they call the West Bank, Judea and Samaria. Israel has the best legal claim. There's no Palestinian sovereignty that the law has recognized over this. No matter how much people pander and call them occupied territories or illegally occupied territories. I remember getting into it once in a piece that Kofi Annan wrote in the New York Times calling them illegally occupied territories. And frankly, a professor from Columbia University supported my position on this, although he's not necessarily a lover of Israel. But he said, clearly, they're not illegally occupied territories. And I said, it's further than that. They're not occupied territories. Prime Minister Netanyahu has used the term occupied, but in a legal sense, they are not occupied territories.
You know, David, one of the things, and whoever gets involved with this from a legal perspective doesn't need my legal guidance, but Ben Cohn has a long, long history of associating with virulently anti-Israel organizations, groups like ANSWER, like True Global Exchange. I wrote an article in 2003 about Ben and Jerry's because they were parading with all these anti-America, anti-Israel organizations. And here are just some of the positions stated by Global Exchange, supported by Ben Cohn. One, Israel is illegally occupying Palestinian land. Israel systematically violates the human rights of Palestinians. The music is coming on, so we've got a hard break.
Shalom, everybody. Making a difference often takes just one moment and one person at a time. I am Orly Benny Davis, your show host on Israel News Talk Radios from Jerusalem with love. You'll be hearing people talking about politics, religion, social issues, and making a better tomorrow. Join me, Orly Benny Davis, for God and Country from Jerusalem with love.
Wednesdays on Israel News Talk Radio.
Israel News Talk Radio, straight talk from Israel.
Welcome back to The Definitive Wrap with Alan Skorsky and Bela Seabro.
Thank you again, Mr. Producer, for bringing us back. Just a quick note to our listening audience. Right after our interview with attorney David Schoen, we will have with us special guest from the town of Hempstead, based in Long Island, New York, Councilman Bruce Blakeman, to tell us why their council was the first to initiate a retaliation against Unilever and Ben & Jerry's by canceling all of their contracts. Now, back with David Schoen. So David, right before the break, I was telling you about the Charter of Global Exchange. And here's what they say about Israel. Israel is illegally occupying Palestinian land. Israel systematically violates the human rights of Palestinians. U.S. aid to Israel violates the U.S.'s own laws. And there are more. So I bring this up only because Unilever is never going to be able to say we didn't know. Had we known before, we would have changed, you know, our relationship with them to prevent this from happening. So they knew who they're in bed with, and now it's come back to bite them in the ass.
That's right. And, you know, you're 100% right. That, by the way, that I have to tell you, it's not pandering. That's why this show is so important. You're pulling up chapter and verse that proves the point. A lot of these shows do, you know, fluff pieces on it. Let's deal with the facts, and the facts are on your side. Bela asked the question earlier, why does this really matter? This is just sort of, maybe it's nothing to people. Oh, big deal. Israel and Ben & Jerry's, huge company. You can say that about Airbnb then too, right? They, they pulled out of parts of Israel and they were condemned roundly. Look, they were celebrated by, you know, AOL and Tlaib and right, that kind of crowd, but it goes to show you, they eventually caved. So, you know, I certainly wouldn't have thought that a couple small places in Israel would be a big deal to that company. But we'll see what's going to happen. But you're right. Ben & Jerry's has been out front with these anti-Semitic, anti-Israel statements for a long time, just self-hating.
Yeah. David, we have anti-BDS laws that should be enforced. Should people contact their local representatives and legislators to demand that Ben & Jerry's not be allowed to be sold at state universities and other state agencies?
Oh, I think absolutely. I think that's where it's got to start now. Contact this, like you, as we say, you know, the Texas comptroller. Contact the people involved with these various funds, with the education system in the states. You know, that's going to be a place. Many of the education systems could well have a contract with Ben & Jerry's. It's the investment in Unilever with pension funds and other public funds, but it's also access to the consumers for Ben & Jerry's under state auspices. You know, you can't just say, we're not going to let Ben & Jerry's in the state because they discriminate. Necessarily, but you can say our state will not do business with a company that discriminates like this and that violates the law.
Right.
Now, I know, Bela, you had asked earlier if we knew of any non-Jewish establishments. So I saw this on Facebook, and to me, I'm always leery. But somebody had posted that Publix had been pulling it. I haven't confirmed it. I just heard it. Other people are going to verify it. But Bela, you also asked about whether this is our responsibility to press our legislators or they do it on their own. In Oklahoma, Senator Lankford has already called on the state of Oklahoma to invoke whatever, however the terminology is, to invoke the anti-BDS to keep Ben & Jerry's and Unilever out of their state. Not shockingly, Chuck Schumer, the Jewish senator from the very Jewish state has been silent on this once again. So again, you contrast this, and I hate making this political because this is an issue of morality, not politics. But once again, this is what we're going to see happening.
Right. And can you imagine if this were, let's just say, another religiously associated state in the world, and there was a boycott going on against them, no matter the human rights violations that go on in one after another of those states. But if anyone dared to say, or let's just take Ms. Tlaib's Palestinian Authority, filled with corruption, filled with human rights violations, let's just say, you know, Ben and Jerry's or some other company said, we're simply not going to do business with them because of their corruption. Tlaib and the whole crowd on Capitol Hill would go crazy with that. And unfortunately, I'm afraid you'd see these days, perhaps President Biden coming down on her side, because Bernie Sanders certainly would be. So you say, you know, it shouldn't be political, and it shouldn't be. But unfortunately, every issue is today.
Right.
I do want to point out that the CEO of Ben & Jerry's is Avi Zinger, and his factory is in southern Israel, and he employs hundreds of Israelis, Jewish, Muslim, and Christian. He actually refused Ben & Jerry's Global when they demanded he stop selling in the West Bank, and he said he will be selling across the Jewish homeland. David, where do you see this going? With the Kafke Hashgacha kosher certification, what do you think it's going? Because they haven't pulled yet. From what I understand, they have not pulled yet.
They will be issuing a statement soon, though. Go ahead, David. I apologize.
Yeah. No, not at all. That to me should be a no-brainer from a moral standpoint, and should send a message, you know, across the bow immediately. Kafke should be pulling Ben & Jerry's product, should not give supervision to Ben & Jerry's. And that sends a very strong message. Again, Ben & Jerry's might not care. But I do, you do, right. And I think many people wouldn't. It sends a very strong message. Beyond that, I think that for a while, Ben & Jerry's is going to try to hold firm. You know, these are people who are ideologues, and they're against Israel from their core. And they'll get plenty of vocal support from people who have media access, like AOL, Tlaib, and Omar, and sort of their fellow travelers. And they're going to raise these First Amendment, you know, speech issues and all of that business.
Yeah.
This is simply about discriminating against the state. But it's true, you know, as you say, the CEO of Ben & Jerry's in Israel, it's Mr. Zinger, makes the point that this is like SodaStream again. You're cheating Palestinian Arabs out of work now. And you're hurting the economy that helps them in Judea and Samaria also. Okay, Ben & Jerry's doesn't care about that at all. Ben & Jerry's wants to make a political statement. I hope that, you know, he'll hold firm. I hope that Prime Minister Bennett means it when he says there will be consequences. Doesn't have to be in a threatening way. It just has to be matter of fact. You don't do business in Israel if you discriminate against Israel, and that means any part of Israel, period.
You know, David, as an attorney and a good skilled attorney as you are, it's part of your job to also always think two steps ahead to know what the other side is going to do. And that's what political strategists do all the time. Before Ben & Jerry's issued this press release, and this is what dawned on me, their agreement doesn't expire for another year and a half. So how stupid were you to create this SH storm needlessly? If you were smart, you'd have waited a week before it's about to terminate. You don't do it a year and a half to now give us the chance to give you such a, you know, a potch back. Do you think that they consulted with their attorneys, or do you think that this is just a group of ideological Jew haters, Israel haters, that, you know what, let's issue a press release a year and a half in advance just to see what happens?
Yeah, I think it's both. I'm sure that they consulted with their attorneys. I think their attorneys are simply like-minded. They told them, yes, you can get away with this, but you're right. Why should they have done it now? I think part of it might be that the sort of temperature of the times these days seems to be, you know, the hate squad are in the news all the time, and this supports their agenda. You have midterm elections coming up. Maybe it's all part of that package. But I think, you know, these folks think they're taking the high road with their horrible fundamental discrimination. We have to make clear moral statements against this stuff, exposing what it is. We have to hope that the majority of clear-minded people see the discrimination for what it is. I think we have to publicly juxtapose places where Ben & Jerry's does business that really are human rights violators versus what happens in Israel, how open-minded Israel is, how wide and broad Israel's umbrella is compared to these other countries. But, you know, it's very hard to deal with anti-Semites in any kind of rational manner. It just, their position is not rational. It's just filled with hate. And so we have to bring consequences on the legal front, on the PR front. And, you know, hopefully there are going to be editorials written to just, you know, there's a decent piece today in the Wall Street Journal about it. But
yeah, I saw that.
Yeah. To speak power stuff. Yeah.
So, you know, David, one of the things that we brought up earlier in this discussion was the groups behind this this boycott. And when Ben and Jerry's put out the press release, they said that we are responding to our partners and supporters. So I went back to say, who are these people?
Yeah.
And it's a group called Vermonters for Justice in Palestine. Now, I never heard of them before this, and I'm pretty much, you know, I follow what's going on. I went to their Facebook page. They have 2,500 followers. Now, their organization is full-blown support of the full BDS. They didn't want just the OPT, as they call it. They wanted all of Israel. And I'm asking myself, Ben and Jerry's, this huge, humongous corporation, you caved to Vermonters for Justice in Palestine? So there is much more here that is going to be uncovered, peeling back an onion until we get to the center of this, because this did not just happen in a vacuum. You know, as you said, this has been a long time brewing. Why they pick now, who the heck knows? But obviously there's much more play here, public relations, legal. I don't know what your thoughts are about that.
That's why it's so important to respond quickly and forcefully and to show them the pain, not, you know, anything other than through legal challenges and through the PR. In this case, I frankly am glad if Ben and Jerry's were going to do this, I'm glad that they did it with a blatant political statement that right. shows their hatred and shows yeah. misuse of the facts, misuse of the term. So let's open that debate up now to talk about occupied Palestinian territories and so on, and, you know, cast out the canard that they're raised.
Right now, again, we know that the Israeli government has stood firm. We know that Yair Lapid, who I'm not a big fan of, but, you know, he came also with a very forceful statement. So aside from what's happening between the U.S. and Israel now, which will become a political hot potato, does this affect anything that happens in Europe? Do any European governments have any type of anti-BDS legislation, or is this something that was just came up in the United States?
Well, you know, they've unfortunately, there have been a number of initiatives within European nations to support BDS, actually, even formally through the United Nations. They've had this so-called UN boycott list that they've been promoting and so on. Theoretically, they have anti-discrimination laws in a number of countries in Europe. They don't seem to apply them when it comes to Israel, but they should. Germany should certainly be speaking out against this. You know, they seek refuge in this idea. This is just isolated to occupy, which we European countries consider to be illegal. Therefore, all Ben and Jerry's is doing is making a statement about those illegal territories. And that's where the fear Baylor raises could come in, if this gives them that excuse. That's why we have to, again, dissuade anyone from thinking that this is about supporting any illegal activity anywhere. It's complete nonsense.
Thank you, David. We are out of time. We appreciate your professional wealth of information. And we welcome you having to join us again. And we hope you will join us again in the future.
Great show, and it's always an honor.
Don't go away. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
This is Shai Ben-Tekoa. Each week I'll be webcasting to you from Judea, origin of the word Jew, a people besieged and beleaguered in every generation. Nazi Germany is but a memory, but in its place the world invented the phantom Palestinians as this generation's internationally authorized Jew killers. Tune in for a different slant on life in Israel, Phantom Nation, every Monday.
Hi, I'm Rabbi David Aaron. The soul basics are the most profound, the most essential, and yet often the most neglected in our education. Join me for Soul Talk on Israel's News Talk Radio and discover the secrets to love, spiritual growth, and personal power.
We're back with Alan and Bela on the Definitive Wrap Radio Show.
In our last segment, we interviewed attorney David Schoen on the legal ramifications for Ben & Jerry's and Unilever. In this segment, we are honored to have with us Nassau County Councilman Bruce Blakeman, who in record time mobilized the town of Hempstead in Long Island, New York, to initiate the anti-BDS legislation to ban all contracts between the town and Unilever. Welcome to the show, Councilman.
Thank you so much, Alan. Appreciate
it. Thank you. Now, my first question for you is, once Ben and Jerry's issued the press release, What were the first steps that you took to get the town of Hempstead to act, and how did you mobilize members of both parties so quickly?
Well, first of all, in the town of Hempstead in 2016, and I should add that the town of Hempstead is America's largest township. We have close to 800,000 people, and we are bigger than some states. So we're talking about a significantly large community, of which probably over 150,000 of our residents are Jewish. So that would make us one of the largest Jewish communities in the world. So we heard from constituents that were very happy that we passed the first anti-BDS law in America, to my knowledge. And then basically what happened was we did not have an occasion over the last 5 years to enforce the law until Ben and Jerry's made their announcement that they were not going to operate in Judea and Samaria, which we see as a violation of our anti-BDS law. So what happened was I heard from a number of community leaders, spiritual leaders, rabbis, those that run local yeshivas, indicating that they were aware that we had anti-BDS legislation and would we do something about this. So I spoke with Supervisor Clavin and Councilman D'Esposito, asked them for their support in enforcing the anti-BDS, not only against Ben and Jerry's, but also against their parent company, Unilever.
Right.
And they thoroughly endorsed my recommendation, as did all the other members of our town board. We have a Democrat on our town board who is an African-American woman. She's our senior councilwoman, Dorothy Gooseby, who is a civil rights leader, a well-known civil rights leader. And she not only voted for the anti-BDS legislation, but she also said that if we have this law and they're violating it, we have to enforce it. And she was at the press conference today as well. So it was bipartisan. It was people from all communities that were standing with Israel and recognizing that all of this BDS stuff is anti-Semitic. It's not just anti-Israel,
right.
It's anti-Semitic.
Right. Councilman, until now, what was the relationship between Unilever and the town of Hempstead? And how much money are we talking about in this cancellation? Also, who is it affecting? Universities, nursing homes, hospitals?
Yeah, so that's a good question, Bela. So the town of Hempstead has probably close to 100 parks, if not more. We also have catering facilities. We have other vendors. We purchase a lot of products for use in our town and for town government. So this would apply to anybody that does direct business with the town. So in other words, if you are a restaurant that's operating in a town park, if you are a vendor that's operating at our beach, if you are selling products to our maintenance department or general services, basically we will go through the list of Unilever products and tell our vendors and our suppliers that there are certain products they cannot use, the products from Unilever, until they rescind what they did with Ben and Jerry's. Or listen, Unilever, you're a big company. Sell Ben and Jerry's. Get rid of them. They're bad people, and they're on the wrong side of what's right in America. The fact that we should have religious freedom, and the fact that Jewish people should be able to practice their religion without bigotry, without anti-Semitism, because people ask all the time, being anti-Israel is not being anti-Semitic. Isn't that true? And it's not true, because these people that want to boycott or divest or sanction Israel, they never say anything about countries with horrible human rights records, nothing compared to the United States or Israel, like Venezuela, like Cuba, like Iran, like Yemen, North Korea, China, Russia. We could go down a whole list of countries, and they never, ever say a word about them, which indicates that they are focusing on Israel because it's a Jewish state. And right. We cannot close our eyes to that, and we cannot pretend that they are just arguing against issues related to a foreign government, to Israel. It's about anti-Semitism. They're singling Israel out because it's a Jewish state, and we're not going to tolerate that.
Councilman, can you take us through the steps, whether it's a town, a city, or a state? Because as you've read, Texas now is about to initiate their boycott of Unilever and Ben & Jerry's. Can you take us through the steps of once it gets triggered, what is the process from beginning until the boycott becomes official state or town policy?
Well, here's what we would like. First of all, I don't know whether or not the volume of dollars with respect to the business that Unilever does with the town of Hempstead is something that is going to move the needle. What we think is going to move the needle is the fact that we are America's largest township. We represent close to 800,000 people, and we are saying that this is wrong, and we're taking action in the hopes that other people and other agencies and other governments join with us. So I was very, very pleased to hear about Texas, what they might do. Love to see Florida get on board. Unfortunately, I'm very pessimistic about New York State, because New York State has had a bill pending for 5 years, anti-BDS legislation that can't get passed, because the same anti-Semitic, hate America crowd is in Albany that's in Washington. And I'm talking about people who side with Omar, Tlaib, AOC, and Bernie Sanders. Right. Those are people that are not only anti-Israel, they're anti-American. They want to change our Judeo-Christian system. They want to destroy capitalism. And we're not going to let that happen.
Thank you. Councilman, when the town made the call, what was their response? Did they try to say, it's not our fault, don't punish us for what Ben and Jerry's did?
Well, we haven't heard from Unilever yet. We're hoping that they will take notice. And because of programs like this one and the media that we had today, you know, we had four New York City TV stations there. We had our local cable TV station there, which is a very large cable news network. And we are now getting a lot of international coverage of what we've done, because what we've done is do something that is very strong and very courageous on the part of my colleagues on the town board. So I want to commend Supervisor Clavin, Councilman D'Esposito, Councilman Goosby, Councilman Muscarella, Councilman Dunn, and Councilman Carini, because they never wavered, they never cowered, because they're afraid of taking on such a large organization as Unilever. And quite frankly, I think Unilever now has serious regrets in giving Ben and Jerry so much leeway. Because earlier this morning, I was very happy to hear that their stock was down $3 a share, which is very significant. So hopefully this will have an impact on them, and they will see the error of their ways.
You're currently running for a Nassau County executive. So as the executive, how much more influence would you have to solidify what you've already initiated?
Well, that's a great question. Yes, I am running for county executive. Basically, there is an anti-BDS law that was passed by the Nassau County legislature, the Republican majority in the legislature. So we'd like to see them join us in enforcing their law. The Kern County executive, she always says nice things. However, she's a Democrat who has yet to denounce Tlaib, Omar, AOC, or Bernie Sanders. Now, these people are anti-Semitic. They're anti-American, quite frankly. And if in my party, we had somebody that was anti-Semitic, we would demand that they get out of our party and we would denounce them. But the progressives who are moving this anti-Semitic cause, they won't let Democrats speak out against the BDS because they're sympathized. They, I believe, are a minority in the Democratic Party, but everybody's afraid of them and they're cowering to them. And unless Democrats get courageous and throw them out of their party, it's a real national disgrace.
Thank you so much for joining us today, Councilman Blakeman. And on behalf of myself and Bela Seabrow, we want to thank Israel News Talk Radio, wishing all of you a great rest of the week, and we'll see you next Wednesday.
Israel News Talk Radio's chat room. Just click the orange button at the top of the IsraelNewsTalkRadio.home page, log in as yourself or an anonymous guest, and join in on the fun. You'll meet other listeners from all over the world who listen to Israel News Talk Radio, and you can make new friends. Israel News Talk Radio's chat room. It's the closest you can get to being in the studio with us.
We love listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
Where can you get the inside news on Israel? At Israel News Talk Radio, we're dedicated to sharing Israel's inside story with the world by providing our listeners with news on Israeli politics, current affairs, and Israeli Jewish culture. The Israel News Talk Radio homepage also provides you, the listener, with useful information at your fingertips, with scrolling news headlines, weather, currency exchange, Shabbat candlelighting times, and so much more. Our radio programming is always accessible and on demand. We operate absolutely free of charge for everyone, everywhere. If you love what we do, partner with us now by becoming an Israel News Talk Radio supporter. With your support, you'll be inscribed on our Israel News Talk Radio Wall of Fame. There's nothing like us in the world. Be part of something great. Israel News Talk Radio, straight talk from Israel.
If you love Israel News Talk Radio, then you'll love our Facebook page. We keep you up to date on what's happening in Israel, plus little surprise treasures that we don't share on the radio. Go now to follow us on Facebook. Just look for the Israel News Talk Radio Facebook page, and don't forget to subscribe and follow us by clicking on the like button. We post great stuff there that you'll want to share. Israel News Talk Radio on Facebook and Israel News Radio on Twitter.
News, opinion, and more. You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.